First of all, I would like to say that when I first was looking for a church to come to, one of my greatest concerns was the life of my children and the ministry that would be brought to them. And it has been such a joy to be a member here. I have to travel a lot and things, but to know that I can so trust my children to the leadership of the children's ministry and the staff. And I told someone that, I just like having my children in that vacation Bible school. And they said, well, does Brother Alex do a good job? I said, you know, I wouldn't even have to look at vacation Bible school. I just need to look at Brother Alex's family. I know he'll do a good job. And so before I get started, just, you know, from Brother Jeff Noblett, our pastor, and the other elders, just applause for someone who's done so at such good work, Brother Alex. Of course, he wouldn't be able to get any of that done if it wasn't for that army of a family of his. Praise God for them and their work. And of all the things that that Pastor Noblett, the responsibilities that he's given me here, I consider the greatest privilege and the most frightening responsibility in these last 2 years, this last year, has been to do the Vacation Bible School twice. It is a wonderful privilege, but such a fearful thing before God. We take it very, very seriously here. It's not playtime. It's not just about having fun. And it's not just about teaching children little moral stories. It is about introducing them to the one person they must know and must know correctly. I am sure that as parents, you love your children deeply. And we so appreciate that. And you want so much for your children. You want them to be strong and wise. You want them to prosper. You want them to have many of the good things that are on this planet. And we understand that, and we want the same thing for our children. But we realize that all of that, summed up together, has little worth apart from a greater thing. And that is knowledge of the one true God. I can tell you, as I walked around the classes and as I taught, that some of these children heard more biblical truth than some adults will hear in an entire year in a Sunday school class. And the basis of that is our foundational belief that our greatest need is a relationship with God and correct knowledge of that God. I want to read a passage for you that is one of my favorite passages in all the scriptures. It is in Jeremiah chapter 9. And it says this in verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord." Now let's just look, first of all, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. We are all intent in our children getting a good education and going from grade school to high school and then on to college. We want them to know. We want them to understand. We want them to be able to function in this society. But Scripture warns us that although that is a good thing and an important thing, it is not the greatest need they have. He says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. A child can grow up to have great wisdom and great expertise in almost all things, but that expertise alone will not help them on the day they stand before God. There is a greater need in their life, not wisdom to gain prestige or wisdom to gain wealth. There is a greater need, wisdom of who the one true God truly is and what that one true God requires of us. And not only as teachers of the Bible, but we admonish you as to be parents who realize that the greatest thing you can entrust to your child is not a good life, but a true knowledge of God. And then he goes on to say, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. We are a culture that is so involved in the physical, in human strength and in athletics. And there's a good element in that. We want our children to develop physically. We truly do. But you need to realize something. When so much is given to the physical, we again miss the greater need in our child's life. What does it matter if your child becomes the greatest football player who ever lived, the strongest man, the most agile and coordinated woman? It does not matter if absent from their life is a knowledge of the true God. We all realize that. When we were young, our bodies were our friends. We could run forever. We could play all day. But now as we grow older as parents, we realize that the strength of our bodies are waning. The beauty is fading. We need more than just a temporal physical condition to bring us through this life. We need something that will not fade. We need a strength that will not wane in our latter years. These children need to know that there is a strength that goes beyond that which is physical, and that is the strength of knowing God and standing upon His Word and His truth. And then it goes on and it says, let not a rich man boast of his riches. There are men who have great expertise and brilliance. They can do all manner of things and make a gain. We seem to honor them, almost worship them. We definitely envy them and want to be like them. But we need to realize that all the wealth in the world cannot buy a man peace. It cannot buy a man happiness. It cannot. I remember when I was studying to be a lawyer, and I was taken off to Detroit in order to go to a wedding of a family member of mine. And I realized, standing amidst all their wealth, that if I was going to follow Christ and be a missionary as God was calling me to be, it would mean turning my back on all these things. And I was just fighting there at the wedding, looking at all the wealth that was around me and realizing it would never be mine. And I'll never forget, after that wedding, an old man was seated in a chair and he'd been drinking quite heavily. It was there on the canals off of Lake St. Clair in Detroit, a very wealthy place. And he said, boy, come here. He just looked at me. And as a young man, I walked up to him and he pointed to another man far away on a dock. And he said, you see that man? And I said, yes, sir. He said, if I tell him to jump into the canal, he'll jump into the canal. He says, I can buy and sell every person here. And then he looked up at me and he said, but I am the most miserable human being on the face of the earth. You see, is that all we want to give our children? Is human wisdom that will not help them on the day they stand before God? Do we want to just give them physical strength so that all men honor them, but will they be honored by God? And do we want them to just have wealth? Wealth that the Bible warns us cannot save your soul. So that's the admonition to parents. But now with the few minutes that I have left, I want to give an admonition to the children. Because this is all about you coming to know God. I'm going to ask Chad Haygood to come up. And Brother Josh sitting behind him, could you come up for a second? Now, I do this quite often whenever I'm teaching children, but I'm going to do it here tonight. And children, you have paid attention so well throughout the week. So I want you to pay attention because this is the most important part. I want you two guys to just stand here kind of side by side. Now, I want to explain to you the gospel. Now, this jacket that Brother Chad has on, it's going to represent your sin. Now, sin is much more horrible than this. But if you could just imagine for a moment, this jacket just filthy, dirty, covered with everything nasty, smelly and stinky, a horrible thing he's covered with. That represents your sin. It covers you. It covers all of us before we come to know Jesus Christ. And it is this sin upon him that separates you from God. And not only does our sin, our disobedience, separate us from God, but what you need to understand, when you break the law, when you break God's law, that's considered a crime. And because God is good, and God is holy, and God is just, God must punish crimes. He's a good and loving God, so He's not going to allow bad people just to ruin His world without being punished. Justice must be done. And here's the problem. This boy here, Chad, he represents all of us. He represents you and you and you. And his sin here is just like yours. And because of his sin, he is separated from God. And because of his sin, he deserves to be judged by God. Now just put yourself here for a minute. This is you. Because of your sin, you're separated from God. Because of your sin, you deserve to be judged by a good and a loving God. But God, even though we've sinned, God loved you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Brother Josh is representing Jesus when He was on the cross. And here's what happened. Now listen carefully. This is the most important part. When Jesus was on the cross, He took your sin and He bore it. Now, I want you to think about something. The reason why you're separated from God is because of your sin. Jesus Christ had no sin at all. He never was separated from God. God always loved Him. God always looked down at Him and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But that beloved Son, Jesus, along with His Father, loved you so much. Jesus said, "I will go down." And the Father said, "Son, will you?" "Yes, Father, I will go down. And I will stand in their place. And I will take every terrible thing they've ever done and I will carry it upon myself. And then, Father, they deserve to be separated from you, but I on that cross will be separated from you. And they deserve to die, but Father, on that cross, I will die in their place." And so in their place, in your place, imagine you hanging on the cross. In your place, the Son of God carried your sin. And then all the punishment of God that should fall on every one of us, it fell on Him. And it killed Him. But remember one of the verses that you probably heard many times this week? The wages of sin is death. But when Jesus died on the cross, He paid it. He paid it. Now, this man, you and me, we've sinned, but our sin was placed on Him, Jesus. And Jesus died and He paid for it. It's gone. And then Jesus rose again from the dead. And now you can be saved and have a relationship with God. And you want to know how? I'll tell you how. Looking to Him. Looking to Jesus. Right now, if I died, thank you guys. Right now, if I died, I would go to heaven. You want to know why? It's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because I read my Bible or I pray. If I died right now, I would go to heaven because I'm looking to Jesus. I realize, Jesus, apart from You, I'm dirty. I have broken all of God's laws and I deserve to die. But Jesus, You died in my place and I know that is enough. I sing, an old man said one time, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And that's me. I'm happy not because I'm able to live better than everyone else. I'm happy because I'm looking at Jesus who has never failed and will never fail and has given me a perfect relationship with God. Now, before I turn this over to our pastor, I want you to realize something, adults. What you just heard is for you, too. You say, well, that's for children. Unless you become as a child, you'll not enter into the kingdom. But if you will trust Christ and you say, well, I've prayed that prayer. I'm not talking about praying a prayer. I'm talking about looking to Jesus. There's a difference. Again, Parents, it has been the greatest privilege. This time of year is our greatest privilege. And we consider it an honor to teach your children and minister to them the Word of God. Pastor Noblet.